Hey guys, you're here with Dr. Molly,
And Todd Rowland.
and we're bringing you the podcast, The Business Side of the Pet Industries.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about the power of pivoting and regaining control in the chaos of the pet industry.
Yeah, today's topic, we're going to kind of talk about ways to adapt without losing direction, leading through uncertainty, and regaining balance before burnout sets in. So we're going to talk about proven tools for crisis management, communicating under pressure, and making smart, flexible decisions that keep your business steady no matter what comes your way. So first, let's dive in. And this is because everyone is going to have a crisis moment. Everyone's going to have something come up that derails us. As the business owner, the leader, the manager, whatever you are in your business, that's up to you to keep your team calm, to keep your clients calm, and then to establish that balance and that positivity and productivity through that crisis, whatever it may be.
Yeah, so let's just like this is a common one. If you work at a salon, your front desk person calls out.
Or maybe they're running late and you already have a plan of what you're going to get done that day, what your team's going to get done that day, and how it's going to look. So what are you going to do if that happens?
Yeah, so let's, most people want to go into that panic mode, but like you should already have this kind of scenario played in your head because it's probably happened before. It's going to happen again. So what is the best way to do it? One thing that we do with our salons is that if the front desk person is running late or calls out, our groomers check in their first clients.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal if something happened to our front desk. Not that it's not a big deal to us, but our clients don't know. Our groomers all know the process. So this is where kind of cross training and making sure your team is capable to do everything is a good proactive crisis management strategy. So what the front desk is running late, our operations can continue as normal. Our groomers are here. They know how to check in their dogs. They're comfortable with client communication. And we know that because we've worked on role play, we've worked on our checkout and check-in process, and they all have access to all of the notes and everything that they need to get this done. So it's not a problem. It's not adding extra work to the management. It's not putting extra on the business leader. It doesn't even have to derail my day or come up with a solution because our groomers, they can handle that and adequately handle that crisis in the moment whenever it comes up.
Okay, so what if they call out? I mean, you got us through the first hour of the day, but what if they're not coming in at all?
So again, that's just kind of where we transition and we pivot over to that scenario. So that just means our groomers then, if we don't have someone that can fill in, then they will have to check in and check out their own dogs. And it's not for, it's unfortunate and it may put them a little off, but we also cross train our entire team. So everyone from kennel techs, they know how to check in, the groomers, our receptionist. Everyone can actually fill that role and that need. We also, if it gets to be too much of a hassle, our team is willing to come and step in. We have a very good teamwork mentality. And so we just kind of have that. We put the information out. Hey guys, unfortunately, so and so called out. We either do or do not have someone that can come and pick up and fill in. If we do, this is the time they'll be in. If not, please know, keep an eye out for the front door alarm. You know when your dogs are coming in, and you'll have to handle that check-in and check-out process today. And it, the whole team just adapts and moves forward because, again, we've practiced this, we've rehearsed it. It's something they're comfortable doing. And they really, I mean, they have the time to be able to do that.
And it sucks. Like you've got calls that may not be answered. You may get behind on the messages and things like that. But that is just, let's not get stuck on that. Let's still take care of the things that have to be taken care of. And maybe by, you may have somebody may have a dog that cancels during the day. And that gives that person time to catch up on the messages, catch up on the voicemails.
Or if not, that sometimes some of those things just have to wait until the next day. If you're in a position where you're remote and you can keep an eye on that, great. There's a difference in day to day for business owners, what you are obligated to do and have to get done. So maybe it's a day that you are working at home and you can pop in and check those messages and those voicemails. Do you even have the systems and processes to have that freedom and flexibility? Our phone system records everything. Our voicemails go to an email. We can access those from anywhere. All of our text messaging is through our software. Again, we can access that from anywhere. Our team members can be, in the back looking and see a message pop up and go ahead and book an appointment without even having to stop what they're doing and go to the front desk. Same with our, support staff or ourselves. If we want to pop in and handle something in one of those situations, it takes some of that burden off because we have the proactive processes to handle that crisis in that moment.
But the front desk calling out, even, at a multi-groomer salon with, six groomers for the day, it's going to be hectic, but it should not derail the entire operations.
Yeah, people should be able to rebound. They should know what to do. You should have clear communication and they just knock it out. Again, that doesn't mean everything's going to get done perfect that day. Let's settle for happy clients, well-groomed dogs, and a somewhat, supportive staff.
And one thing we remind our entire team is that everybody calls out at some point. And so we're not going to talk bad about that person. We're not going to do any of that negativity. What we're going to do is we're going to work as a team and overcome this obstacle today, because guess what? All of us are going to have to miss an unexpected day at some point.
Yeah, and then we just prioritize what is the most important, and then we get back on track and just push through the rest of the day and then catch up the next day or whenever we're able to when we have our full staff back.
So, Molly, the next one we'll go over is like our team, your team is kind of like freaking out. We're slow. We're not, why aren't we booked? We're usually booked. Why are we, those kind of things.
Yes, and you see this especially when you hit those seasonality points or around school calendars, or maybe you're in like a snowbird community. It's real easy when you go from being booked, 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 whether it's the summer rush, the holiday rush, whatever it may be, to a slow season, a slow week, a slow day even. Look at what's going on. Take the time and compare. Our groomers, a lot of times they'll think that, oh, they're slow this week or we're slow this month. If we actually pull even person to person, that's when we'll look at sales trends. So before we respond and go ahead and say, oh, this is what's going on, we'll actually compare the numbers. So look at, well, this is what you did during this week last year, and this was your sales. You've actually made more money. It feels slower because we just came out of our peak summer, or because we just came out of our post-fall break rush.
Or maybe we just hired an additional groomer, and some of the new requests that may have overbooked you, or you may have taken some new clients just to fit them in. The new groomers is filling those in. But yeah, you're still meeting your sales goal. You're still having a great work-life balance. So a lot of times, like, let's just stop and look at the bigger picture before we, because we as owners, we can get into that panic mode as well as too, thinking, oh gosh, we're slow. So and so had three cancellations today. What are we going to do?
And then, like for us, we've noticed a lot of our issues, whether it's a booking or cancellations, a lot of those are seasonal or they're very specific. Like we know around spring and fall break, we're going to have high cancellations and, high availability because they're going out of town.
Or like one location, the first 2 weeks once school starts back, like our sales are typically slower those 2 weeks. We highly encourage people to plan their vacations around those times. Like, hey, you get this amount of vacation time. A lot of people that doesn't work because they want to take it during spring or fall break or when their kids are on vacation. But like, it's also a great time. Hey, if someone wants an extra day off next week, we're typically, this is a typical slow week. Let's go ahead and plan for that so that you're busy the other 4 days you work.
Yeah, that's a great point. Also, let's talk about, well, what if this is a little different? Like, what if, like, I'm normally not slow this time? How am I? And I'm starting to panic and everything. Well, I do my Facebook ads and we have good rebooks and percentage, but why am I slow right now? Like, that's looking at what are you doing differently or what can you do differently that's not working. Like for us, we have really good social media advertisement figured out. We have really good word of mouth. We've not really ever had to advertise. And it's like maybe you're not meeting goals or maybe you're not seeing the trends. Right now, every time we get on social media or even in our local networking groups, we're seeing grooming sales down, boarding sales down, daycare sales down. And it's the same. Well, what are you doing? Well, the same thing I've always done. And that's where you have to pivot. Sometimes the same thing that has worked for, 6 months or 6 years is not going to work in a particular instance. And that may not have nothing to do with you individually. That just may have to do with uncertainty. It may have to do with the market. It may have to do with new groomers coming into your area. So you have to be flexible and adaptable and learn how to change your strategy sometimes to adapt a situation instead of just thinking the clients aren't there, but maybe how do we reach the new clients or how do we get our current clients coming back in?
Yeah, we one thing we do is we mail out sympathy cards. Sometimes we send flowers to clients when they lose a pet, but we also keep track of that because you may have, depending on how big your operation is, you could have several pups that pass away a month. And they may be a two pup household and one of them passed away. So your client numbers are staying the same, but your
Right.
actual dogs you're servicing may go down. And so that may be a time that we've never had to advertise or whatever, but maybe it's time we do start advertising. Maybe we go to some local events. Maybe we, sponsor something at the animal shelter to get our name back out. Things like that. Just because you've always been booked and it's always been steady doesn't mean, like Molly said, there's not uncertainty going on. Or did a factory just lay off 100 people in our local area? Maybe people are a little nervous. Maybe they're going to watch their money. Or, as we're recording this, it's during the government shutdown. And honestly, we had no idea how many customers we had that worked for the government that have wanted to reschedule their appointments because they're not getting paid right now. And we're like, wow, we had no idea that this many people. So that's a time like, well, maybe we market, any government employee that is not receiving pay right now, maybe we'll do a 25% off or a $10 off to help them out, but still get people through the door.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do that you don't have to implement long term or that you can do right now to get, the situation overcome. If you just like lock into that fear and freeze or get set in the, well, I've never had to do that before. That is just, that's where we see things fall. Like one of those for us is marketing. We've always handled our own marketing in-house and now we're at that point where we've, grown and grown, and we do not want to, we want to beat the trend. We don't want to see a decline. So we are putting marketing dollars and letting the professionals handle our, our Google searches, our SEO. And we're seeing, things we've never done before, and we would have been fine without that. But the returns on that that we're seeing are just, it's a lot different because the market right now, like Todd said, people are watching where they're putting their dollar. So you may have to be a little more personable. You may have to be a little more flexible. That's kind of something we've learned with our client base throughout the years. We were very structured and regimented. And we've just learned over the years, depending on our location and our price point of the clients we're trying to service, we've had to pivot our service model and how we treat and how we talk and down to the dress code that we have at, certain locations versus others.
So let's say you want to make a project out of this, Molly. Like, so it's something that you've got a problem, and this is not a quick term fix, but like, let's just say right now, like it's November the 1st, but let's say by January the 1st, we're going to work on this project. What happens if we tell our team we're implementing something and the team's all looking forward to it, but we can't make our deadline?
So it's okay to admit when something is off track. One, two things that I can almost guarantee is things take more time and or more money than you ever think they will. So if you've already announced it and you've already said, that's where communication comes in. You just have to, as the business leaders in your business, you are going to make mistakes and you have to own those. If you're always coming up with an excuse or coming up with why something didn't happen that was someone else's fault, or even, if it's something out of your control, then relay that. Yes, we plan to launch this bonus structure or this commission structure or have this new line of shampoos that we were using or this bathing system. And then it doesn't happen. Just communicate that. This is what happened. This is what we're going to get through. This is when we're looking to implement that. Just make sure you're communicating that and you don't get derailed and caught up on, trying to put blame.
I think one thing too is a lot of times we get, if something's not working out, it feels like a failure. And sometimes we want to get up or give up. And then other times it stops us from wanting to try something new because the last two things we tried did not work out, but it doesn't mean the third thing is not going to be awesome and life-changing.
Yeah, like when you pivot on a project or an idea you have, again, you think it's great and you might think you have the whole system and process worked out. But if not, it doesn't mean that that failed. It just means you don't fail until you quit or give up. So pivoting and changing the direction you're going is not something that failed. If you have this whole package line of spa services that you think is that every client's going to want it and they don't sell, then maybe you pivot in a different direction and maybe you just target, maybe you bring down your pricing model. One a good example of us trying to pivot something we thought would work well is one of our salons, we wanted to do, the drop-off windows. Every dog dropped off at a certain time, every dog picked up within a certain time. That allowed us to kind of to be efficient and have minimal, support staff. And then we realized that wasn't working. People weren't biting. And why? So what we did was a market analysis, and then we surveyed our clients. They wanted individual appointments. They didn't want a window. Everyone else in our area did a window and because of convenience. So we had to kind of pivot and adjust our strategy. It wasn't that, what we wanted to do failed. It just wasn't the best way to get to our end goal, which really was getting the clients in the door.
I think another one, Molly, that a lot of people have had to pivot from is power outage.
Oh, yeah.
When do you call it? When do you notify clients? When do you let people know that you're going to be behind? I mean, there's a lot of panic. One of our groomers today, they said, "I'm always the groomer that wants to know, can we send all the dogs home and go home early?" That's not necessarily the case. Just actually, why I'm bringing this up, this just happened a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, okay, so we have a 15-minute window, another call at 30 minutes, and then after 30 minutes, we're going to take it every 5 minutes. We're going to make a different decision whether now we're going to start notifying clients that we're going to be running late because the power's off. Is it just our location, or is it, townwide? Just some things like that. You've got to be able to make decisions based on those things. You need your facts.
Yeah, you also have to look at, is it gonna, what's the recommended time? So like we have an SOP when the power goes out, we pull up and look, is it a reported outage from them? If they don't have it reported on their website, we'll call and ask about the outage. And typically they can give us a time frame. It should be up in 30 minutes. It should be up in 20 minutes to an hour. And so that gives us time to look at the situation. What is the weather? What's the current, condition inside of our facility? And, who do we have to cancel? Okay, if it comes on in 20 minutes, then we're good. If it comes on in an hour, we may all the dogs be safe and catch back up, but we may have to cancel last appointments. And then we're proactively communicating that as early as possible to the client. But if we just freeze and, oh, well, we have no power, let's send everybody home. And then we go ahead and tell the clients, tell the groomers, and
And
then
by the time they get there to pick up, the power's back on and you've created chaos.
created chaos, and they get there and everything's running fine. And now your groomers, you've already told them they're going home for the day. The easiest way to manage crisis is through crisis planning and crisis management. So have that SOP, what to do when the power goes out, what to do when, heaven forbid, a dog ever get cut or a dog have a seizure. A lot of times these little crises that come up, if we are ill prepared or it's something that comes up very rarely, we just want to jump to the first thing that pops in our mind. If we are the one going through it, we cannot usually look at it objectively.
Yeah, the person that usually has the crisis in front of them on the table, sometimes they go into panic mode and actually forget the training. But the other people in the area remember the training, like hold the dog paw up above its heart, things like that. The person in the moment sometimes panics. But that's where, as the leader, you have to be able to pivot and help them, guide them through that.
Same as like if something personal goes on, we'll have it doesn't even maybe it doesn't involve the business, but it could derail the business if something happens and a groomer feels like, oh, I have to go home, this is going on, and they'll call you and you will offer two or three other solutions. And it's like, well, why can't so and so do this? Or what if they washed your dog while you drive, things like that. And they're like, oh, I didn't even think about that. I was just so focused on, the issue going on. And, have that comes from experience. It comes from, taking the looking at it from the outside perspective, a lot of times having those reference points of, you know, what to do, who to call, the power goes out. The first time that happened to us, you know, we were in that same situation. Well, what do we do? When do we call it? What's safe for the pet? And then we've just learned since then, we know the resources to call and the websites to look up, and we know what's acceptable temperatures to continue operating. And then, you know, at some point, it's just we're not going to make our team sit around past a certain point. But, you know, once you get through a crisis, document it, document the different ways it could have been handled, and then move from there. But no, pretty much everything is going to be case by case. You know, we're going to wait a shorter amount of time if we're below freezing or in a heat wave versus if it's, you know, a nice, calm, cool spring or fall day when it comes to temperature inside the salon. There's a lot of other things too. Let's say your mobile and your generator quits working or your water pump goes out. How are you going to handle that situation? I mean, that's happened to me before. And you know, it's you just panic, and I'm going to look unreliable, and I'm going to look all these things. And it's just you have to stop and say, what needs to get done, and how can I make it happen? Sometimes it is explaining to the client, I'm sorry, my water pump went out. If I could just rinse, I have all the power to do whatever. For our generators now, you know, we have a plan for that. You know, we know how to troubleshoot that, how to move the day around. And, you know, instead of canceling someone's entire day, you know, how can we get through this one dog and move on? And sometimes we do have to, you know, bring a wet dog back, but that doesn't mean that they can't fix or go get a different van or go ahead and move about your day.
And how do you handle like the pressure of going to someone's door with a wet dog and saying, like, I'm sorry, but whatever quit working and I can't finish your dog? Like, how do you pivot from bringing this, nice, fluffy, well-groomed dog to the owner to bringing a dog wrapped in a towel?
So a lot of crisis management and being able to pivot is to keep control of your emotions and your attitude. If you are panicked, you should never let the client see you panicked. If you are stressed, you should not let your team see you that way. So it's just role playing, talking it out, maybe calling someone like a supervisor or someone who's been through
We
it.
joke that we go and check the mail, even if the mail has not ran, even if it's not the mail time, even if we're not expecting anything. Sometimes we just have to step out and walk to the mailbox and to take a breather and walk back in. And just that quick 2 or 3 minutes taking yourself out of the situation obviously lets you cool down, let some ideas run through your head, and helps you handle it.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of times we do just want to do the first thing that pops in our head. I know one time we had had a van worked on, and they had locked the keys, put the keys in it, and locked it. And we get there, we don't. That was the backup set. So instead of just calling the groomer and getting the keys, we called a tow truck, waited for the tow truck, then had to have someone, you know, come and get the van and follow them home. It was like it was a whole process where had we just thought we could have just grabbed us had a second set of keys ran up there, and it would have taken the same amount of time with less effort, and it would have been financially better. And I think then the tow truck got delayed, it would have been quicker. But in the moment, you just think, oh, keys locked in the van, let me call a, you know, someone to come get these out, instead of thinking about where's the original set and how quickly can I get it here. All kind of things you just want to look at it kind of like holistically, like what is the best scenario? And usually it's taking time. You think crisis and you think immediate 911, and that is true. You need to figure out what to do quickly and get that implemented so you can avoid like further damage, further chaos, further reputation issues, further booking issues. But you want to look at a variety of options and kind of figure out what makes sense on the whole picture, not just the right now picture. Because sometimes a crisis is more than just, you know, the power going out for 20 minutes. But setting your emotions aside, that's going to be the best thing. Have being clear and calm. And this is again where we can admit things that don't go right. You know, I'm sorry that this happened, but Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to, come back and finish Fluffy's groom. Something has gone on with my generator. Or you're gonna have to come and pick up Barry today. Unfortunately, we've lost the power and we've already waited, this amount of time. They do not project that it will be up in enough time for us to get through our day. Most parents, pet parents are open to that communication. They just, if you wait and they come to pick up their dog at 3 or 4 o'clock and there's been no power and they're not groomed, that's when you're going to run into those upset clients. But you want to take, if you don't know the answer, that's okay too. There's times when we get something new, all and they call us and ask, oh, what do we do? Sometimes we'll have to say, let us discuss this for a few minutes and we'll give you a call back. Or let us run through a couple things and we'll get back to you with what we want to do. You don't have to always make that split decision right when someone's asking. It's okay as the leader, as the boss, as the owner to not have it figured out, especially if it's the first time you're dealing with that situation. And then once you've done it, get back on track. So, yeah, let's say your front desk called out and maybe your groomers are overbooked that day and you just happen to be there because you're working on payroll in the office. So maybe you have to go and step in and cover that front desk for an hour until your receptionist gets there. I don't want to say so what, but don't let that derail your day. So whatever you were going to do from 8 to 9 may not have happened. So what were you supposed to do at 9 o'clock? Go ahead and pick that up and move on or reprioritize. This is where, we really lose sight of things is we forget that we can reprioritize the day based on the crisis events.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of what people struggle with is that when a crisis does happen, you may be good at pivoting to handle that crisis, but then once that crisis is handled, you need to pivot back to what your top three things were you need to get done that day. Like you might have had a checklist of 15 things that you wanted to get accomplished that Tuesday, but what were the top three that really mattered?
Yes. And then don't keep rehashing. Deal with it, accept and move on. As business owners, or when you're in the business side of things, management, leadership, there's always going to be something. Even groomers, you know this, your day never goes as planned. You're ahead of schedule, you're behind schedule. A dog is matted, a dog peed, a dog is aggressive. Our days never go as planned. We had no call, no shows. We have people show up that aren't on the schedule. Role play those situations, have solutions before they're a problem. But really, what you don't want to get stuck in is, we hear fight or flight or freeze. You don't want to freeze. You want to give yourself, time to make a decision. And then whenever you are working through that, you have to be able to then pivot back to what you were doing. Whether that's a complete reorganization, that's a complete trial of something, or just, keeping up with things. But you really want to make sure that you're able to get back on track and then you're not bringing that negativity into everything else you're doing for that day or that week or that
Yeah,
project.
you want to keep it calm, cool, and collected.
Exactly. So there's great power to be having pivoting. To recap, you really want to have as much preparation as possible. Anytime a new crisis comes up, or anything you have to pivot on, go ahead and make a policy or SOP for that. How would you handle that situation in the future? After action reviews are a great way to do this. How did we handle it? What did we do well with that? What could we have done differently, or what would have been a better option? And go over that,
And also, like, I didn't mean to cut you off on, but it's important that not only that you do an action after action review on yourself, also ask your team, what do you think could have been done differently today? And it may be that, they may have some ideas that you hadn't even thought of because maybe they're not panicking. Like maybe they're sitting back there grooming their dog thinking, I don't know why Molly is panicking because so-and-so called out, like, we could have handled this today, and she's panicking. Like sometimes your team, because they may, or like maybe a team member, but somebody may not be stressed, and they're sitting back there and they can see the whole picture and not just the emergency. And sometimes that helps, that outside perspective helps.
Yeah. And then lastly, you really want to stay as calm as possible. So it, even if you are stressed and you're going through it, the la if it is a something that affects your entire team, you do not want them to see your stress and your chaos. If you're stressed, then take the breathing room outside of, in front of your team members and then regroup yourself and get back on track. But thank you, and we hope that y'all have a great day.